Good morning. It is good to be with you here on this first day of the week. I think we do have some visitors here, and we are encouraged by your presence. I want to begin this morning, read from you Psalm 18, beginning in verse 1. It says this, "I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. I am saved from my enemies." In Psalms chapter 3 and verse 3, "But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and He heard me from His holy hill." David, in Psalm 18, describes his safety and refuge while physically hidden in the mountains from King Saul. And he expounds in this lyrical format, if you will, about how great and awesome God is as a protector, as a defender, as a stronghold, as a place for safety. He describes God as one whom is around him, whom he is taking refuge, a stronghold. Nothing in this is something that is weak or frivolous or soft or limp or whatever you may think of. It is not something waving in the wind. It is something that has a lot of strength to it. And that is how he describes God around him and how he is able to take refuge and to find safety not only in the mountains, but in the mountains of which God provided to him, and how he can find safety in those places. In John chapter 10, and if you would like to follow along in your Bibles, you may turn to John 10, and that will be where we spend the majority of our time this morning, where Jesus says this in verse 7, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." When we think about the idea of what a door or a gate is, what is that for you? Well, we may oftentimes send someone to their room and tell them to shut the door because we don't want to hear them. So in one sense, we're trying to set up that door as a barrier to noise. But for many times, we think about the door to our house as something that we have put up and we keep it closed to keep, you know, things out. With small children or maybe small animals that you have in your house, you put up a door to keep them in. You keep them confined in this place for their own good, for their own safety. You hear people give this statement, and it comes from a place of good intentions. My door is always open. Literally, most of the time, people's doors are not open, as a matter of speaking. The idea and the principle is you may come and visit me anytime that you want, and that very well may be true, but the physical door is shut for a purpose, to keep things out from coming in and to keep things that are in from going out. And the only way that you can go in or out is through that door. And if you think about all of the doors that you see, here within this room, there's a door here, and there's a door to go outside, and there's this door here. And then if you go up the stairs, there's another door to get to the baptistry. But there's also a door to get underneath to have access to the baptistry. And then if you come on this side, it's the same thing. There's a door to go underneath the baptistry. There's a door to go up the stairs to get into the baptistry. And there's also this door here. But there's two doors down this middle aisle. And there's also two doors to the left if you're walking out this middle aisle. So this gets you into this idea of like all of these doors that you see in this life. Are there more doors or wheels in the world? There are more doors, wheels. And now in our Sunday morning class, we discovered, are there labels? And we put labels on everything, signs and different things like that. Nearly every door has a sign on it, and nearly every wheel. So at some point or another, it had a sign, Jacob, whether you like it or not. This has become a great debate, like on a sidetrack comment in our class. When we think about this idea of all of these doors and what they do and how they give access to, and then And then we think about what Jesus says when he says, I am the door. We get a little bit deeper into this thought. Let's begin reading in verse 1 of John chapter 10. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. So let's set this up for you who are not able to visualize this as Jesus is speaking. What he says is, here are the sheep in this, if you will, for our modern terminology, they in this pen. Okay? And this corral, this pen, only has one gate for the sheep to go in and out of. That's the only way to get in. That's the only way to get out. He said the only people that come in and out of here are the ones to whom the gatekeeper opens the gate for, and the gatekeeper is going to only open it for the shepherd. Anybody that tries to come in another way, well, they're a thief. They're a robber. They're trying to steal something that's not theirs. They're trying to get in there to destroy something that's not theirs. They're just trying, there is no good intentions from someone trying to get in from another way. He says, but the shepherd who comes, he comes, the gatekeeper opens the gate, opens the door for them, and the sheep are able to follow the shepherd wherever he may go, and the sheep willingly follow him because they know his voice. Now in verse 5, he says, a stranger they will not follow. He's talking about the sheep. They're not going to follow a stranger. They're following the shepherd. But they will flee from him. They'll run away. For they do not know the voice of strangers. The figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So he says this, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep, they did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and I will go in and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus begins to explain to them how all of these people that came before him, they were thieves and robbers. The sheep didn't listen to them. They didn't go. He says, I am the door where you can go in and you can find safety as sheep. Christ tells them that he is the door. Well, Christ as the door, if we think about him as the door really has two functions. The door is either shut or it is open. Once it is not shut, it is open. It may not be wide open, but it would be open. Okay? This is also another debate that we've had in Sunday morning class. The door is either shut or it's open. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's just the way it is. So if we think about that and keep that in the back of our mind, what is a shut door? What is the purpose of a shut door? Well, a shut door provides security and protection. You go shut the door to the house and lock it. The other day I left the boys. I got a call at work. Haley was gone. And I said, hey, you just go on. She said, what happens if you get a call? Well, I'll just leave them here. Well, you going to leave them here? I'm like, what? I mean, why not? What are they going to do? They're excited to death. They think they're Kevin on that movie. They're home alone. I pulled out of the driveway and Lawson's jumping out and down in the middle of the driveway saying, I'm living alone. I'm living alone. I said, when I left, I said, look, if somebody pulls in the driveway and you don't know their car, then go in the house and what? What do you think I said? Shut and lock a door. It's okay. So if you see somebody pulling the driveway, well, what if it's somebody we know? I said, if you don't know their car, then I don't care if you know them or not. You ain't got time to sit out and ID them and say, well, I don't reckon I know you. by then you already snatched up and gone. I mean, I know they're going to bring one of y'all back, but I mean, overall, I just don't have to deal with it. I said, go in and shut and lock the door. Go in and shut and lock the door. Why? Because it provides a layer of protection. It provides a layer of security. A lot of people, they'll tell you, you know, they're going to get in where they want to get in. That's just a fact of the matter. A thief, if they won't break in, they're going to get in. They're going to find some way to break, tear up, or get in. But most of them, if they find any kind of friction, in other words, if they can't just find the door unlocked, they're just going to be like, well, you know, we'll just go find somewhere else to go. That, and when you think about these, some of these neighborhoods have had these people that get dropped off at one corner and a car will come through that neighborhood and they'll wait at the end and these vandals will just hit all these cars sitting in the driveway. They don't spend a lot of time normally bashing windows and stuff. They pull on door handles. If it's unlocked, they go in, they take what they can get and they go to the next one. If it's locked, they just go to the next one. And so it's like this shut door when it's locked. It provides a level of security and protection. And that's exactly what Jesus is providing to those sheep who are inside the pen, who are inside the rock wall around them as the door. When he is shut, he is providing safety. There are going to be those who appear to be godly. They're going to be thieves and robbers that look like shepherds who are there to destroy the flock, yet the door is not going to open for them because he knows what the true shepherd looks like. He is providing protection. He says, you know, you're not going to get around, you're not going to get in any other way than through the door, and I'm the door. I'm the one that is going to keep them out when they're not supposed to be there. His goodness and his wisdom and his power all stand in the way of anyone who wishes to enter. Now, Jesus also, as the door shut, is that. And Christ is the door that is open. Well, he's the first to give admission to the flock. He is the one who says, you know, this is the way you get in and get to be part of the flock. In John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. He is the one who is going to allow entrance to those who wish to come in. He decides yes or no. He is the one who gives them the open door and he opens the door. As an open door, we're able to go in and out and have conversation by the way of the gate. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25 talks about how this conversation is made possible by the gate, by the one who is the mediator. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. He speaks on their behalf. So when we think about having a dialogue with God and being able to come in with God and we go out back into the world and we have this way because of the gatekeeper who is able to open and close that door for us. He is the door which sheep are lastly admitted into the heavenly kingdom. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 34 where it says, then the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. He is the passageway and the openness to get us to heaven, to get us before God. He is the one of whom gives us conversation to God and gives us part of the body of Christ. Christ is the door, is also the door that knows shepherds. When you think about what he said in chapter 10, where he conveyed this message, he says, you know, the gatekeeper only opens it for the shepherds that are the real shepherds of this flock. When we went to New York City, Haley and I, we walked around, and I wanted to go to all them places you've seen on TV. We didn't have time to do all that, but we went to the ones that, you know, we went most everywhere you've seen on TV. So back to the Home Alone little comment I made a moment ago, we go by the Plaza Hotel. You know, so we go by the Plaza Hotel and there's all these cars lined up. They got these drivers sitting out there in the cars waiting to pick folks up, getting them in and out of here. And I'd like to just walk around in there. Just look around and see. Well, they had this guy standing there or at the edge of the steps at the door. And we kind of could figure out by surveying here, these people would walk up and give their name, and he'd go, no, you ain't on the list. You ain't on the list. You can't get in. Well, you need to go down there and see if you can get your name on the list, but you ain't getting in. See, he was the doorkeeper, also called security. And he wasn't going to let anybody in that went on that list. And being, you know, from the South, not knowing a whole lot of stuff, but I did know a few things. When I saw that guy up there with that list, you know, I knew I wasn't on the list, and I don't think I'd fare real good in prison. So we just decided not to go up there and even try to get in. Because, well, I knew I wasn't on the list. He was only letting people in that belonged in. So when you think about Christ as the door for the shepherds, who were able to come in and get the flock and take the flock out to get pasture and to go to the water. And then the shepherd is going to bring them back and take care of them all along the way. He is looking at the shepherds and is able to say, hey, yeah, this is the shepherd that we're going to let have this flock. Or this is the shepherd, yes, that we're going to let take this flock out. He knows what the shepherds look like. Through his ability as the door, he knows the true shepherds of the flock. He knows whether this is really their flock or not. The door's purpose is to protect the sheep. Wolves, robbers, thieves, they all appear safe at times. But this is the passage where shepherds too can come in and find a place to relax and to sleep. They can take turns having watch because the sheep are kind of now confined and taken care of and are using the shelter that is provided to help take care of them. So now we've got this gate, we've got the walls in which the sheep are in, and the shepherds can kind of take turns watching and waiting for the sheep. And it doesn't take as many, you know, we've got them all here, we've got them all gathered, we can kind of take care of this. But only true shepherds are going to be allowed to be in there with the sheep and find rest and to find cover. The rivals of Jesus were hurt by this. You see, they thought, well, you know, we've been shepherds for a long time. We've been talking to these people. We've been teaching these people. We've been showing these people how to go. And now here you come and you say you're the gate and you won't even let us go in with these sheep that we've been taking care of. He said, because you're not a real shepherd. You're not what you ought to be. I'm not going to let you in with these sheep. You just as well might be a wolf. You just as well might be a robber. While at this moment you're not eating a sheep, and while at this moment you're not stealing a sheep, you know what you have been known to do? You have been known to kill and eat sheep. You have been known to tote one off every now and then. And because of that, I can't let you in with the sheep. You're going to have to show that you've changed and that you're not that way anymore. You show me you're changed and I will open this door and I will let you in. But until then, only the true shepherds are going to find rest in here. You see, he's the door to the sheep that allows them to come in and to go out, and they are able to find pasture. You know, there may be more sheep out there. You know, there may be sheep, all these sheep may leave, and he opens the door for them to go out to the meadow to find pasture. And there may be some more sheep up there in the mountains looking down at all these sheep down in the meadow eating grass. And they said, boy, we really like to be with them sheep. They got a bunch of green grass, and we up here trying to kick rocks over to find a worm underneath it, and we can't find nothing. We'd like to go down there with that sheep. Well, regardless of how bad a sheep wants to get in with this flock, the only way that those sheep from the outside can get in with the sheep on the inside is through the door. Regardless of how desperate they may be, regardless of how great a despair their situation might be, regardless of how bad they want it, if they do not come in through the door, they're not going to be able to get in. That's the only way that sheep can get inside is if they come through the door, because as the song goes, it's so high you can't get over it, it's so wide you can't get around it, it's so low you can't get under it. You must come in at the door. The walls are too great, the walls are too strong, the walls are too thick, you're not going to get in any other way than through the door. But does that mean that he doesn't allow sheep to come in the door? No. He just gave a requirement. He gave a way to get in and to find safety. Well, I don't like that door. Well, I'm sorry. I'm just explaining to you the way that he set this up. He said the only way you're going to get in is through the door. Well, what if it all day long? And you can spend all this time trying to find a loophole and a double backflip to try to get in, and you're still not going to get in because he told you the only way to get in is through the door. And it doesn't matter how much you like it, how much you don't like it, that's just the fact of the matter. It doesn't matter how bad you need to be inside. If you don't come in the door, you're not getting in. Acts chapter 14 verse 27 tells us a little bit more about that door of Jesus. And what he has done as far as opening that door. And when they arrived and gathered the church together, they declared all that God had done with them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles, giving them an opportunity now, these sheep that once were not able to be inside the flock, the Gentiles, he now has given them an open door to come in and to be part of the flock of God. You know, sheep just have to be led sometimes to be shown where to go. The door can be wide open. The gate can be wide open for them cows. And when you want them to go in it, I guarantee you they won't. And that same gate can be wide open and you don't want them to go in it, and they're going to go right through it. They're going to do the exact opposite of what you want them to do. And I see these sheep much in the same way. They're trying to do, you know, I want to get in. Well, you can't get in any other way than through that gate. And here he is saying, I'm going to open up this gate for you and I want you to come in and come in, please. And everybody goes, you know, I just think I'm going to find another hole somewhere else. Maybe I can find a hole and you're not going to find one. You'll have to come through that door that is Jesus when he said, I am the door, I am the gate. You see, sheep can go in and out. Sheep got free will. They can go get lost if they want to. They can stay with the group if they want to. They can jump off a mountain and drown in a river if they want to. And if they go off in the mountains, Jesus gives another parable where he says, who having found one lost sheep does not rejoice? They're allowed to return. It's not like, you know, well, they left and we're going to shut the door right here and we're not going to let them in tonight. You know, they're not locked up either. Neither are they shut out, nor are they locked up, because the gatekeeper knows the sheep. And he's letting them come in and go out. Going out, they're led by the shepherd, who also desires for them to have safety. He does what's best for the sheep. Many times he puts himself in great peril, maybe to even protect the sheep. We'll talk about that, Lord willing, coming up quickly, about how the shepherd does just that. The sheep are supported by the shepherd when they're leaving. He gives them nourishment and guidance and shows them the way back home. But when they get back home, the only way they can still get back in is through the door. Through the door. They may have picked up some more sheep along the way, and while they walk in, the gatekeeper and the shepherd are watching and making sure only the sheep are allowed in. Only those who are known are allowed inside. The question I have for you this morning is, have you found the door of salvation? Christ says, truly, truly, I am the door. I am the only way. He is the door, the only entrance to the fold. He is the only place that we can find safety and rest. He is the only way. Psalm chapter 25, verse 4. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me in your paths. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. Well, he has shown you the ways. He has shown you the path to take. He has shown the world salvation, much more than how he gave David refuge in the place of the mountains, much more than he provided safety in a time in which he so desperately needed it. He has provided us Jesus of Nazareth, the Christ, the Son of God, our Redeemer, and our door to salvation, who waits and stands by the door to open it for any new sheep that longs to enter the fold. This morning he is standing by and he is waiting patiently to open that door, to allow you in, for you to become part of his fold and live with him forever. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, please come as we stand and as we sing.